All right, so welcome everybody to the first FinTech Virtual Loan podcast. I'm pretty excited because I am with a very special guest today. We have the same name, so we have Jonathan from Barbados, Iceland. He's in a specific area in the legal space. So I would like to introduce you with Jonathan Brathwaite, which is the founder of Mithril International. So let us hear from himself about, introduce yourself, provide us a great overview about your company, what you do, what your company does. And yes, let's start with that.
Okay, so hello to everyone. I'm an international tax lawyer based in Barbados. Just finishing a PhD in international tax law at the University of Florida. Studied US tax law because it helps me. I work with a lot of US tax lawyers, so that helps me work with them when I understand their point of view. We are have offices based in Barbados and a small office in Miami Beach because we do a lot of stuff between Miami or the US and Barbados. We have a lot of customers from places in Latin America, Canada, and the US. And the people that we work with are people that tend to kind of own businesses. They're doing international business and they have customers all over the world. And we spend a lot of time working with them, helping them solve problems, set up structures to raise money or do different things. So, we also
Excellent.
set up trusts and companies and things like that for people. So that in a nutshell is kind of what we do.
Great, 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 great. So, well, this has led me to the first question, and is how do you see, the industry on the in these days? On the things that you are doing, if you are seeing some opportunities, what are the challenge? What are you guys looking for in the future with those opportunities? So how do you see the industry?
This is the legal industry or the fintech industry?
We can give an overview of both
Mm-hmm.
a fintech and in the legal industry, and also the combination between both, so
I mean,
it's
it
great.
impacts both, yeah.
Yes.
I would say the thing that impacts both of them, to be honest, is basically what I describe as the financial the transparency of the financial system. Compliance. Legislation, compliance systems. So in the US, you have things like FATCA. For the rest of the world, you have CRS. And this is where tax information is being reported to the tax authorities of governments. And this is another way of describing it is the automatic exchange of taxation information. Has a big impact on the way people structure, the type of tax structures that people use, where businesses are located, which then in turn impacts a lot of the anti-money laundering laws and legislation. And a lot of governments and like in the US has introduced the Corporate Transparency Act. That is going to basically shine a big light on people doing business in and through the US, which is going to have a big impact on both the legal and the fintech industry. And then you've got Europe. Europe is getting ready to introduce a central authority for money laundering, which means that, they are going to introduce a lot of systems and new laws and rules and regulations that are very new, going to make the financial system more transparent, which again will affect firms in the fintech industry. Some people will perceive it as making it more difficult to do business. But really, to be honest, what's happening is that this technology is enabling governments and authorities to actually implement the laws and do the things that they've always talked about. And so sharing tax information, government sharing money laundering and collecting money laundering, anti-money laundering legislation is going to change the way that the possible, it's going to change the way that fintech is done. Banks, of course, are very sensitive to compliance. They're very sensitive to whether a country is what their policies and laws are. So all around, this kind of flow of the collecting and flow of this information is going to have big implications for the legal and the fintech industry and our ability to make money in this industry for the next few years. Yeah.
Got you. So for those fintechs, I mean, it doesn't matter the stage where they are, if they are early stage, middle stage, more mature stage, it doesn't matter, all of them. So we'll feel the impact of those foreseen regulations or this impact with technology also, or is any specific fintech that will feel the impact?
I would say the fintechs that are in the cross-border. So let's take the
Okay.
US as a point of reference. The US has a massive domestic market. Of course, the US is one of the most dynamic economies in the world. It's absolutely very massive. And so if a fintech is focused on domestic US transactions, even though the US is increasing its oversight, collection, and transparency on whatever, if you're within the US and you're dealing with US domestic transactions, I would say that you will, it's just a matter of technology and management and issues, operational issues like that. But when it comes to cross-border, I think that US banks in particular, I mean, if you look at the US banking industry, US banks don't really have any branches or presence outside of the United States of America. They're all
Right.
very US centric. And so, therefore, their perception of risk, of compliance risk, is different, is very, very different. And it's different to the sense that, if they don't have experience of working on the ground in many other jurisdictions, then there's going to be a lot of things that they don't know. So I don't want to be disparaging, but at the end of the day, that will make it difficult for US banks to deal with fintechs that are in the cross-border space, both inside the US and outside of the US. And as the system becomes more and more transparent, smaller fintechs are going to have more of a challenge proving to larger banks that they don't pose a compliance risk to these large banks in the US that are domestically focused. So that's kind of, how I see all of that.
Great. That's a great overview on that. That leads me okay to the next question is the next question is what are the challenges and predictions that you might see or you are perceiving or maybe you are, right now you are feeling those you are feeling those challenges, you are struggling with those challenges and how you are overtaking those those challenge out.
I think we are entering into a time of a lot of, there's going to be a lot of change. Technology is changing rapidly. If you take into account things like quantum computers are going to be
Yeah.
around in about 5 or so years. They're really going to bring a lot of changes, and a lot of things are going to be obsolete. And I think it's becoming clearer, especially with the advent of our artificial intelligence is already here. And so if you project out 5 years, it's beginning to become pretty clear that it's people are have a lot more information, they have a lot more tools. So say for instance, in my business, when my clients come to me, my clients don't come to me anymore not knowing anything. They can go to ChatGPT and
Yeah.
probably have their question, like, if not 50, 60, 70% answered. And so that has, that will have an impact, on a service business, when your clients are very knowledgeable. It also changes the way that you behave because trying to convince people of things when they have access to so much information is almost futile. You won't be spending a lot of time convincing people anymore. It's more about, I think, and this is more to do with marketing and business development and sales and things like this. It would be more about finding people who align with the way you do business, where you do business, who you are, what your expertise is, and so on and so forth. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. And then the other thing, of course, is there is a lot of political change. I want to just call it change. Private sector companies, like private equity companies, are having a big impact, and it's obvious, and it's in the news. They're impacting the political frameworks a lot more nowadays, and so that's a big change for society, where business people, of course, tend to be quite focused when they have objectives of making money and doing things. Business people don't take the public good, so to speak, into account. They are presenting a lot of challenges to politicians in countries, and therefore countries, of course, are making a lot more business type decisions. In some cases, this leads to instability, but really, instability is really just change. It's just a lot of change, and so I think that we're gonna have to adapt to this change and work through it. But I'm not nervous about it because the largest companies in the world have for years spent lots of time working in countries that have political instability, currency devaluation, what have you. At the end of the day, if you have systems for dealing with risk, you can actually make a lot of money. So I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic.
Great. Great. Optimistic, and the way that you say that, you feel not nervous because of the impact on AI, which is great. Like I told you before we start recording, sometimes people say, okay, I feel AI like a threat. I don't want to deal with AI. I personally, start using especially ChatGPT to test, which provides a lot of information. I feel that it's much better information than Google can provide you. It's more specific. It depends of the areas that you're focusing. But yeah, I like the way that you say that there are also bring opportunities on. So this leads me to the next question, and is what opportunities have you seen and are expecting to see in the future? Now that you mentioned that, you want to adapt to these new AI tools. So what are the opportunities that you have seen for the future?
I think I see a lot of opportunities. I think a lot of the new technology, AI, blockchain, all these things are really, really great. But at the end of the day, human being, it's going to be a matter of trust. I think that's
Yeah,
what's going to come
I
down
like
to.
that.
And this is why I see a great future for young lawyers like yourself and other people, because at the end of the day, human beings are going to want, yes, they will have output from AI that's telling them X, Y, or Z. But the question is, do they trust it? Are people like, do you know who built your AI? Are you going to listen to everything that your AI tells you? Are you going to trust it completely? If you're running a large business, you're responsible for a lot of people, you got decisions to make. Are you going to base all of your decisions on an AI that you may or may not necessarily know who built it, who runs it, who operates it, who makes sure that it's secure and it doesn't have a back door, that it's not biased, that it doesn't have any shortfalls? Like, People will still use AI. I mean, none of these things, but it's just a matter of trust. And trust is really something which is more between one human being and another. And it's also based on communication. So at the end of the day, yeah, your AI output will be there. The business owner, the wealthy family, they're still going to want their human advisors saying, what do you think? What do you feel about this? What do you know? You've had time to go and look in the back end or the front end of this system, these laws. You've spoken to the people that run this AI or do this. What's your take on it? Right? Yeah. So we're a long way away from people kind of trusting everything that an AI says and then kind of running their lives along that. So I see AI as freeing up lawyers to do really what we should have been doing all along, which is communicating, building relationships with our customers and clients, and really developing expertise. Because, you know, a lawyer who can sit down, study, but also has a powerful AI next to him is going to be a really strong advisor. Because, you know, at the end of the day, an AI can't talk to individuals and decision makers. They can run data analytics and do all these things, but you still have to talk to people. So I see a big opportunity for the law, for advisory combined with technology. And I think all of this is going to unlock a lot of problems that are going to create a lot of economic growth. One area that I'm tracking, one industry I'm tracking, is the space economy. Space is infinite without limit. So, you know, if you look at SpaceX and what those guys are doing, and then other countries that are running, I mean, if these guys crack in the next 5 to 10 years, if these guys crack getting up into space and maybe to orbit and beyond, I mean, like, economic growth is right there, is going to, you know, is going to treble, if not double. I really am. I just think, you know, obviously there'll be a lot of challenges along the way. And I know that everybody in society doesn't feel, you know, there are always people who don't, you know, who feel that, you know, people should be focusing on what's here on Earth and all the rest of it. But when you consider that there's one asteroid that has, you know, like, more gold, platinum and metals and everything than we have here on Earth, like, the opportunity is unlimited. So yeah. I think a lot of things are going to open up. There's going to be a lot of efficiencies. I think data analytics is going to change a lot of stuff, especially in the financial services industry. I just saw the first fund a few months ago that basically owns fintechs. The investment fund owns fintechs, and then they're analyzing the transaction information. So they're not just analyzing the financial accounting reporting information of their customers, they're actually analyzing the transaction information of their customers because they have access to that data. And so that's going to change the financial services game.
Interesting.
So all, and I could go on and on and on. I'm very bullish and optimistic on the future. Yeah. As we work through challenges and problems in the day-to-day, you know, it's going to be tough, but, you know, when was it never?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We always will have those problems. We always will have those, you know, those challenges every single year. I mean, and more comfortable, more things will come. We don't know what is going to be next, right? To AI.
Exactly.
So and it's great. I mean, your point of view, because I don't remember the name, but I was checking some implementations with ChatGPT within law. And it's great. I mean, and specific for law. I was testing that. For example, I was, okay, what are the compliance and regulations for a fintech in the US? And it immediately provides all the information immediately. So like you said, it's going to be like to get more knowledge, and of course, not trusting everything from this AI. But unless it can help you to connect in a little bit more and have a big idea, and then of course have your critical thinking to provide that trust that you, and that's a very important word that you use, is trust. If people don't trust, I mean, because people, at the end of the day, You're right. They are not trust 100% these tools. But
Yeah.
you, of course, as a human being, of course, they are gonna trust you.
Well, the thing is this. I mean, when you take law, and I think a number of law firms are developing their own data language models or whatever for AI. And so at the
Yeah.
end of the day, it's going to come down to how much do you trust this law firm? How much do you trust this law firm? Each law firm is going to have their own AI. And
Yeah.
it's still going to come down to the brand, to the people behind the firm who are in front of the firm and how they run it, how they make decisions, the type of people that they are, whether people are going to want to receive advice from their particular AI. So, that's why I say that, I think the, I think it's going to be very interesting.
Nice. Now that we start talking about human beings, so I mean about your balance. I mean, I know it's kind of difficult running a business. I mean, finding clients, closing deals, but in the life aspect, how do you keep that balance between life and work? Entrepreneurship. So how do you keep that balance?
Yeah, that's yeah.
And especially lawyers. I mean, lawyers are always for a run and they're always running and thinking faster. So yeah.
It's very how do I balance it? It's very difficult to balance, to be honest with you. So, of course, one big difference since COVID, working from home has made a big difference with the family life, right?
Right. Yes.
But as it turns out, you still need access to really to office space, not only to meet clients, which is why I have a small office in Miami Beach. So you can do the face-to-face thing, but also the need for you still have to be able to spend time with people face-to-face. So there's getting out and doing that. But of course, Zoom and the remote thing, it makes and Teams and all these things and all the other communications devices make a big difference. But the question is about balancing. So in order to balance, you have to deploy, you really have to work to deploy technology. And it's hard, I think it's harder than it sounds. But say, for instance, one big benefit of social media is, a lot of my clients, say, for instance, a lot of potential clients, a lot of people contact me, a lot of people. And essentially, in a way, they all have their specific thing, but they all kind of ask the same questions. I have taken to putting YouTube's, LinkedIn videos, videos. I've also started a podcast and all these different things. And what it's doing is it's helping reduce the amount of time and repetition that I have to do with people, because people are able to either watch my videos and decide, okay, well, this is probably what he's going to say. I don't need to have that meeting. Or they'll understand and come into the meeting, and we'll be able to do the meeting faster. So for me right now, the most thing that I'm focusing on for balance is how to use technology to increase the amount of communication that I do to my community, not necessarily only to get more clients, but to save me a vast amount of time and to ensure that in my head space, I can clear my head, get to the gym. I can keep myself calm and not, do stress eating or throw caution to the wind and have that chocolate or that bagel or whatever that I shouldn't be having. Because at 53 years, I need to be kind of centered and on my game and keep balance, right?
Yes.
So while so solving problems, happens every day and is a challenge, but I think this using technology to propagate and really build out communication is really, really helpful, because it really then helps you build more balance because you get more time. Your community is able to consume that. I can't imagine where I would be today if I didn't have any YouTube, LinkedIn, Instagram, all it, it doesn't matter that I don't have you know, what I've noticed over the last 3, 4 years, it doesn't matter that I don't have tons of followers or whatever. I'm not trying to do that. What I like is pretty much everyone who I have a meeting with has been looking at my content first, right? To see
Yes.
what I realize I need to do, which will happen over time. I need to get more content out there so people can read, hear, so listen to my positions, listen to what I think, and then either have meetings, shorter meetings, or no meetings, or whatever it will be. So that for me today, with all the change, because remember all the things we talked about before, the financial system becoming more transparent, anti-money laundering, compliance risk, all these things, is creating so much change and problems and risk that it's really great that you can use communication to claw back a lot of time and keep yourself engaged with people, and even existing clients, and kind of just move forward and make progress. That's my big takeaway from when it comes to achieving balance.
It's great. I mean, you also mentioned two interesting. One is time. Then you mentioned gym for, I mean, training. So and I mean, this is, you know, 100% related because you need, and that's the balance. I mean, from my side, that is the balance that I'm trying to keep. I mean, being healthy, trying to eat a little bit more healthy. I mean, I used to be a bodybuilder around 10 years ago. So it's crazy. Once you stop doing something, and immediately came the bad habits immediately. So for me, during those years, it's been kind of hard trying to be working out every single day,
And
trying
it's,
to eat healthy.
yeah,
It's
and it's really important that you keep that. You know, I am an overweight guy. I've struggled with my weight my whole life. And I, when I was starting out in law, I worked at this law firm, and it was this older attorney. He had a great practice. But you know, he brought me one day and he said, "Listen, Jonathan, you know, I sacrificed my health to build this firm." And he said to me, "You know,
that
really,
is deep.
he really said to me, he said, you know, make sure you do not sacrifice your health to build your firm." And so balancing, because you know, obviously when you have a family, children, you want contingency, you want good lifestyle, but you want options for you. Balancing all of that with health is, it's a day by day thing. It turns out to be a day by day thing. But the good thing is that you know, you can do it if you use technology, you use communication. You can get that time so that you can maintain a thoughtful balance and kind of deal with your health and do good practices and good things.
Yeah,
Yeah. Very important.
absolutely. That is impacting. I mean, body and mind, keep that, you know, balancing healthy is kind of, you know, it's kind of challenge for unforeseen. And talking about that, are you working out any training routine?
I collect on from social media. There's a calisthenics movement.
Oh, okay, got it. Yes. Yeah.
You know, so I like that a lot because, you know, I so right now I'm doing a lot of calisthenics. There's two things I'm doing. One, I am trying to, because we in the Caribbean, we have a lot of sugar and carbohydrates in our diet and our food, right? We have delicious
Right.
food. We have delicious food,
Was
which is
going to say
lovely,
that. I love eating.
but it's a problem, right? I'm working on cutting out, reducing extremely that, but trying to find healthy things to eat. So you need time to go to farms to get things like good fruit, fresh fruit, and stuff like that. And then on the other side, the working out is going to be calisthenics for me because you know, I'm 53. I don't want to
Oh
go back.
my, 53.
I don't want to go back in the gym yet and be lifting like heavy weights and hurt myself. But maybe in 2 years or so, after I've been consistent with the calisthenics, that maybe I'll be fit enough to then start back some lifting of some weights. But the calisthenics. There are guys on the YouTube and TikTok that show you how to do the exercises, and it's fantastic what you can achieve. So I'm very excited about that, and I'm working on it. I did my calisthenics this morning, and I'm good. Yeah.
Jonathan, I don't think you have 53. Oh my God, you look like 40. I thought you were in your 40. Oh my.
Yeah, no, I've been around. Yeah.
I can see that you've been around. Yeah. Well, this is the perfect match for this question, and is any advice for life? Because you are 53. You have a great company, and you are just mentioning all those things. So I'm totally sure that you have some great advice for life.
Right. This is for young people or for everyone?
Oh, thank you. for everyone in general. Yes, in general.
What advice for life I would give to everyone is I'm gonna go with positive mindset. And I say that because, everybody, we all, society, we're moving through time together. There are all these things going on. I don't want to get bogged down in this, about what is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong, because, we all have different realities, histories, backgrounds, situations, aspirations, all these different things. Some of these things are within your control, some are not. What is within your control is to work at having a positive mindset. Now, saying that, it's easy to say, difficult to do in practice.
Yeah.
Right? And so one thing I would say, advice for human beings, I know for sure, is that we need a positive mindset to be able either to embrace the good fortunes and the things that we have, or you need a positive mindset more than ever when you're working through things which are difficult, hard, wrong, even life-threatening. You have to try to have a positive mindset. That's something that my father taught me, and he's no longer with us, but he taught me when I was really young. And it's the one thing that I taught to, because I have a daughter out in Canada. She's out there living and working. We don't have any family out there, so she's kind of pioneering, her stuff a bit.
Yeah.
And I'm having to encourage her to have a positive mindset to deal with the challenges that she has to deal with, to embrace the opportunities that she comes across, and to, just to deal with the challenges of life and deal with it and deal with it as best she can. Right.
Yeah.
I don't want to, say more than that, because I think that's the best advice. Because I think deeper, kind of more specific advice can sometimes, not take into account people's realities, situations, bad or good or whatever. So, I see a lot of that on the internet, and I certainly wouldn't. So I do believe in positive mindset, and I try. It's not always possible. So I'm not, I don't want to say that I have a switch that I can just turn on but I strive for it every day, work on it very, very hard. Yeah.
That's nice. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And based on that, any lectures, any books, recommendations, whether it's going to be for life, for business, for technology, for love.
Yeah. One would be a book called Soft Wars by Major Jason Lurie. And that does a lot to that. The theme of that book is basically explaining why our wars in the future are going to be fought via software or, you know, on in the digital space, because really wars are always about resources.
Yes.
And increasingly, a lot of our resources are, our wealth is digital and held digitally. And so, you know, him being a war fighter, an officer in the U.S. Air Force, this guy went to MIT for 2 years and wrote this book. But, you know, I love when practitioners write books. He's obviously an operational officer in the U.S. Air Force, and he researched and wrote this book. And, you know, I just think it's a great piece of work. And I'm reading that. And then the other thing I would say is I think that there's a guy called Brian Arthur. He basically used to write for the Santa Fe Institute in California. And it's all about, he writes about something called complexity economics. And complexity economics basically is just a new economics, which basically says that technology is, you know, is impacting economics in our society. And there's a lot of books and papers that him and other people have written about this stuff. But if you look for Brian Arthur and complexity economics, I think it's important that we look at that, because everything is being changed, of course, by technology.
Absolutely.
Society. So I think those are two really important things that I would bring up. Yeah.
Well, that is right. I love reading books. I mean, yeah, I'm more that read physical books than digital books. But yeah. Yes, and always like those types of recommendations. I would include those on my list for sure. I have a goal of this year to read unless 40 books. I know it's kind of challenging.
Yeah.
But when, I mean, years ago, I complete around 60 books in a year. Of course, I had more time. Yeah, 60 books between Spanish and English, both reading. But now, I mean, when we were talking about time, so, I mean, time sometimes is considered a priceless.
Yeah.
Now I need to think a little bit better about the time using during the day and taking advantage of those AI tools to get a little bit more of space for family, you know. Yeah. And of course, I mean, I always like to read it. So those days becoming like crazy to get the time, the specific time to start reading in less 1 hour is becoming crazy. But well, I will do my best to get that.
It's good, man, you know, because we need people like you who have, you guys are the future. You know, you have, you know, you strike me as someone who's going to have perspective. And that's going to be very important in the future, that we have lots of good people out there like you who have perspective on things. Because, you know, there's so much change on the way, you know, we're moving into a very dynamic world. And above all, perspective is going to be needed to navigate, you know, through that. So that's good. You should definitely keep that up. Sure.
Thank you. For sure. Yeah, we'll do that. Well, Jonathan, I mean, this was a great conversation. I mean, time passed faster. I cannot believe that we just have 40 minutes. And it was a great conversation. When the conversation is great, you didn't feel the time. And I didn't feel any time. I just felt that we have been spent like 5 minutes talking, and we have 40 minutes
started. We're just getting started.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Jonathan, this was a great conversation. Thank you for your time. Thank you for providing us all your thoughts, your point of view, the law, AI, business, life, lectures, books. I mean, it was a tremendous conversation for sure.
Cheers, man. I love it. It was good. Yeah.
So everyone, well, I mean, I think that we're concluding with this conversation with Jonathan. Okay. So I hope that everyone is joining this conversation. If you have any thoughts, any recommendation that you can provide us, we're open. So make sure to watch this video or this audio, and looking forward for the next episode.
Yeah, so am I. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan.
Jonathan, okay. Cheers, man. Okay.